The holiday rush is coming, and if you sell stuff online, you better get ready with ShipStation. With more people buying online than ever before, you have to be able to ship orders out quickly, efficiently, and affordably. But how do you keep track of all those orders or decide which shipping carrier to use? Or if you're getting the best rates? Luckily, ShipStation can help. With just a few clicks, you'll be managing orders, printing labels, and getting those products out the door and delivered in time for the holidays. I have my Dave LaGreca guy, my Dave LaGreca girl shirts that I need to get out before Christmas because they need to be under the Christmas tree and in those stockings for the holidays. So I always use ShipStation. No matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, your own website, ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface, making them really easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. ShipStation works with all the major carriers, including USPS, FedEx, and UPS. So you can compare, choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. They even offer big discounts on shipping costs. Now, any business can access the same postage discounts that are usually reserved for large Fortune 500 companies. You'll always know that you're getting the best deal. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. Take the hassle out of the holiday shipping this year. Let ShipStation help you handle it all with ease. Just use my offer code BUSTED to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free of no-hassle, stress-free holiday shipping. Just visit ShipStation.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the page and type in BUSTED. That's ShipStation.com. Enter offer code BUSTED. ShipStation, make ship happen.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, the innovator of violence, the landlord of the House of Hardcore, Tommy Dreamer himself. We had a great show today. How about this from MLW, the great, and the MLW World Heavyweight Champion, Jacob Fatu.
The Samoan family tree, probably he's one of the best out of all of them.
And then we had Filthy Tom Lawler in a feud with the Von Erichs, Tommy.
Very, very interesting, being the face of a company, and he speaks very, very well. I was next level impressed with him.
And also live in studio, somebody that you've definitely heard of, especially on social media, is the great RJ City.
Because after a while, it's like, enough with the wrestling already. So I came in and I talked about everything else, and I was there to cleanse your palate.
And also, your tag team partner, David Arquette, joined the show.
Yeah, via a very staticky phone, because if anything he knows how to do, it's technology.
And he's very good at the promos, too. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Jacob, how are you, man?
I'm good. I'm happy to be back, man, on Busted Open, man. And see, man, we got a real good upgrade over here on this side, huh?
That's true. I see.
Okay.
Because the last time you were in here, we were in a shoebox.
Yeah, nah, but hey, man, it was still all love, though. It was still all love at that time.
Well, you see, I signed a contract here, and I got the bigger room for
okay,
us.
Okay, right on.
It's part of my deal. We'll take. Where, are you staying in New Rochelle today, or where are you headed back?
No, we're... Man,
by the airport?
Yeah, by the other airport.
I would have had my helicopter take you there.
Oh, okay. So, thank you. I appreciate that, Tommy. I appreciate that. It's
also too surprising, and I don't want to start any kind of heat between the two of you, but you're obviously a big San Francisco 49ers fan. You got the cap on.
Yes.
And then you got Tommy Dreamer, the fraud that he is, wearing a Seattle Seahawks hat.
Listen, him and I are boys. He knows the deal. It's all good. He is
a diehard
San Francisco 49er fan.
Yes.
I am a front runner fan.
You are.
Just like, again, I must reiterate, Bears fans, Tommy Dreamer's coming. I want to go to the game tomorrow. Somebody hook me up. Call in. Alex is on the phone. I need two tickets. But, yeah, man, Jacob Fatu is the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
He just defeated Willie Mack in my own company.
That's
House
right.
Of Hardcore.
Great
gave
match.
Willie Mack the... first defeat he's ever had in my company. And what I told him afterwards was the greatest compliment I could ever give somebody is booking them on my show.
Yes.
Well, so I booked you on the main event of my show, and he's been a main event of MLW. He's super talented. I've known him, I've known him since he was little.
Yeah.
But to see what he has become, couldn't be prouder, because he is the real deal in the ring. And
appreciate that.
With athleticism, with man, he's just good. Are you a second or third generation?
I'm a third generation.
Man.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, just to touch bases on the House of Hardcore out there in Philly, man, those fans, it's really the truth, man. They will eat you alive out there, man. Yeah. Yeah, but
you
overall,
got them back with your work, and then once they see that they're just, that place is the real deal for them.
Absolutely.
It's just going to be the same like you're going to have in Queens tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Once you work, then it's next level.
Yes.
And then you win them over with your work.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what a great athlete like yourself does.
I appreciate that. Appreciate that.
So you have noticed that then when you're traveling around like you do, especially with MLW and being their champion and being a main eventer, that there is a difference between the crowds from city to city.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. You know, you get certain crowds all like this and that. But, you know, I like the challenge, though. But Philly, man, that was a real good challenge for me. But And I loved it, but man, it's true what they were saying though, man. They crazy. They're real wild out there. But other than that though, yeah, really, it was just an honor to not even just to be out there in Philly, but House of Hardcore with Tommy Dreamer, but also to be in that historic building though.
Yeah, it kind of gives you shivers a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So it was good.
And you main evented it, which is awesome. How does it feel like when you hear a legend like Tommy Dreamer just praise you up and down and saying how much you deserve to be in the spot that you're in, which you do?
Yeah, man, I'm real thankful. I'm once again thankful and stuff, but man, I know there will be a lot of people out there to kill to be in the position where I'm at. But I'm just thankful, man, just for the talent and just to hear knowledge like this. Because, you know, a lot of young cats coming up in the business, you know, they don't get chances like this. And, you know, to hear great things like this coming from Tommy and, you know, other legends as well. Like, it's kind of a lot to really take in at the time, though, too. So, you know, I'm real thankful for it.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a difference with, obviously, I know your dad, yeah, too. We know your heritage. But then there's also people like, hey, man, what's up? Oh, that's, you know, I know your dad. And if you're not good in the ring, that's really about as far as it goes.
Yes.
But you are a great representative of the lineage of what your great family has done for this industry and continues. And that tree, that branch is amazing, but you are continuing that amazing work rate, and that's, the boys are the boys, and we'll all be like, oh, family, but then we'll be like, no, that's the real deal right there, and you are the real deal. And I mean, I know Lance, your cousin, tells me that his father, Samu, leg dropped him in the ring at 6 years old. Yeah. So what is your, like, earliest memory or, like, something that you did in professional wrestling? Because I know your dad's crazy, so.
Yeah. Well, one of the craziest things I have seen growing up, family-wise, was seeing the Usos. Was seeing Yokozuna leg drop Jay, I think it was Jay Uso, when he was like in middle school or something like that. Yeah, so like he was all messing around in the ring and just having Yoko and them clowning around. And man, I just remember them having him lay down, and my dad and Yoko and Keish were speaking Samoan, and they just told Jay, man, just lay right there. And he just laid there. He trusted him. And, man, Yoko just came out that corner and dropped that leg drop on him, man. Yeah, that was pretty crazy, you know, for me to see. So, especially coming around at a young age.
That's awesome.
That's an awesome story. And you talk about your family heritage, Umanga. I believe it 10 years ago today he passed away, which I can't believe.
Yeah.
10 years ago today. Mm-hmm. It seems like yesterday. It doesn't seem like it was 10 years ago.
Yeah. The funeral was crazy, man. Thank you know, shout out to you know, the McMahon family and Triple H, you know, for helping out with that. But yeah, it was a lot of love though at the funeral. Yeah, I think he had two separate funerals. I think he had one. No, he did have two separate ones. He had one for the boys in Houston, Texas, and then he had another one in Las Vegas. for the family. But even at the family one, you know, a lot of people have showed up. So it was good, man. But, man, he's truly missed, man. It's crazy. I was just talking to his boys the other day, and I was talking to Yoko's son the other day. And, you know, a lot of people say, hey, man, what's up with Umaga's kids or Yoko's son? And are they going to get into wrestling? But, you know, they're just not into it, though. But they still respect it. They still keep in contact with everybody. You know, I know my uncle's friends and them see him. It's all love. But, yeah, man, they're starting to look like their dad more and more.
Wow.
You know, yeah, so it's pretty cool, man.
It's the giant ass genetics.
Yeah, that's what it is, man.
Umaga would always say that I was part Samoan because of my giant ass and also my love of mayonnaise. And, well, they're Samoan steroids. So I'm giving you some insider stuff. And I would talk about my daughters like to dip pizza in mayonnaise.
Yeah.
What?
And yeah,
and it has to be best foods, man. No Miracle Whip.
Yeah.
All best foods, baby.
Absolutely. And I'm a big fan of mayonnaise and like, man, Umaga was loved by everybody, but man, me and him had some really, really good times. Let me tell you a quick little story about
me. Yeah, please.
We're on an airplane, and I'm asleep. And, you know, I talk to all flight attendants, and I'm dead asleep. And all of a sudden, the flight attendant wakes me up, and she goes, sir, I need your help. We have a problem. We are flying to Japan. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm totally like, something's going on wrong with the plane. Why this woman will wake me up out of everybody? And she goes, we have a passenger that we need to detain, and I need your help. Literally sitting in front of me is a sleeping Bob Holly. We have Big Show, Batista, everybody who's gigantic, and she comes to me. And so I go, what do you need to do? She goes, well, they have the zip ties. And I go, okay. I get up, and I'm half asleep.
Uh-huh.
And I walk up, and here comes Eki Umaga, right? And he's like, Oos, what are you doing? I go, dude, let's go fuck up some guy. He goes, let's go. Right? So we go to the second level of the plane, and there was like this little guy who's drunk out of his mind, and he's on the second part of the plane. And Eki's like, let me go first. I'm like, dude, let's not beat him up just for it. We're on an airplane, dude. Right? So
hell?
I walk up, and I go, sir, federal marshal. I go, we could do this the easy way or the hard way. And he just goes, he leads in, he goes, I will fuck you up, right? And the guy just puts his arms up, and I cuff him with the zip ties, and then they cuff him to the chair. And we walk back, and then he's like, that was awesome. Like, we were so fired up. And I was up for the rest of the flight because I think we have to, like, go and fight. But this is not an airplane going to Japan. Oh, man.
What the hell?
That's to you, Oos. We love you.
Oh, man. I appreciate that one.
Was this guy, like, threatening? Like when you saw him, was he just, like, curled up?
Was
no, like
he was like
stupor?
Being really super loud, and it was the second part of the plane, like where you go upstairs, and there was probably like eight people, but he was being loud. He grabbed one of the flight attendants, which is, you know, you're not allowed to do that. But of all the people, like, she woke me up. I have no clue why. But then, like, he was so excited to do that. It was awesome. He was a giant man child. I loved him, and great in-ring worker. Yeah, I know him and Edge, like, they used to have so much fun too. We were all part of a crew that would all go out. Good times.
That's a dipping pizza into mayonnaise. That's awesome. Actually, you know, you mentioned like the certain type of mayonnaise you have to have. Like, I actually made my wife loves mayonnaise, and I brought like the Miracle Whip mayonnaise home. Oh my! I cut off one of her fingers. I guess I didn't know that there's the, you know. So what's the best one to get?
Oh man, just best foods, man. That's cool. I mean, to keep it 100, man, I actually kind of like laid off of it just a little bit, man. Just a little bit lately. It was starting to get out of control, man.
You're the main eventer, man. Yeah, you got to watch those. Yeah. Own genetics kick in, that ass goes one way.
Exactly, man.
It happens. We got to fight him every second.
Man, so I definitely had to take a break from that, man. So, especially when the kids started like asking for it, like now. So,
yeah,
how many kids
down.
Do you have again?
I have six children, man. I'm 29, I have six kids. But, man, you guys remember the cartoons, like the old storks, they used to carry the babies to the doors? Man, that's what I feel like what happened to me, man. It came like year by year, like, knock at the door, man. Oh, man, damn, another one, man? Goddamn. But, it was good. I got three boys and three girls. Shout out to my babies, man. They keep me motivated. They keep me going. And it's crazy, man. Only my girls love wrestling. Only the girls. Like, they could sit there and watch the whole thing with me. My boys are kind of iffy, but man, shout out to all my babies, though, man. I love them.
Sounds like a reality show. You can get a reality show.
Man, hey, you don't, man, we might go number one in the country, man, if you see, give my family a camera around here.
Once Grandpa comes in,
then it's next level.
And then Uncle Rikishi walks in. The fat twos.
Next thing you know, the whole family's going to try to get in there, man.
Well, yeah. You mentioned the Philly crowd. You're in the city because... Tomorrow night, Thursday night, yes. Melrose Ballroom, the MLW 2019 Opera Cup, yes. Starting at 7 p.m., tickets at MLW.com. I mean, we praise MLW up and down here on this show because I'm addicted. I mean, it was, for me, I started a new tradition because Thanksgiving, MLW was on Thanksgiving, got to see your match with Ross Von Erich. I didn't watch any football. I watched MLW. But what's that like for you coming to New York, this big event, and you're the champ?
I mean, man, this is great. I mean, man, there's been a lot of history here with my Uncle Yoko being here, the champ for WrestleMania, and then my father also being out here with Piper and Snuka at the same time. Wow. But, man, just to come out here I don't know, I feel like deja vu again. You know, my mom was just tripping out saying, man, I remember I used to take those flights out there with your dad, you know, and now you're going out there, so... it's good. It's good. It's, you know, just trying to, once again, man, not trying to ride off the family name, man, just trying to make my own path. I want people to remember me and respect me for my work as well. But, man, I'm gonna keep it real, man. It's always real exciting to come over here to New York, though, because, you know, you get to see it in a lot of movies and stuff. But MLW is where it's at tomorrow. You can see the whole Contra unit. I'm excited for this Opera Cup as well. You know, to see what's going on. But I'm also excited to get the chance to work these work the guys that we're working though tomorrow.
And yeah, it's Stronghearts.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I know they've been around for a while, Cinema and them, and you know, just shout out to MLW for making it happen. But I also get to be in there again, you know, with my brothers, Simon Gotch, Quan's actually hurt, and Joseph Samael. So I'm just ready, man. Just ready and focused. Just ready to tear this shit down, man. That's it.
I like it. What's going on with Filthy Tom Lawler? Because he interfered in the match on your behalf, yeah. But at the same time, he's like, fuck Contra. Like, fuck Von Erichs. Yeah. Like, what's that all about?
No, I'm surprised you didn't break that man's neck the way he threw that chair shot, though, at him, though, Thanksgiving. But I don't know, man. I think it all started maybe in War Chamber. You know, I mean, we overwatched the match, and I just seen the way out Tom... the look on his face after and stuff like that. I don't know, man. Tom must have had a lot built up in him. But, man, you know, we got to remember one thing about Filthy, though. You know, that's one bad cat, though.
Yep.
You know, that's one man not to mess with, though. And I'm not sure what's on his mind, though, lately. But I can't wait to see, though, tomorrow. I know he's in town. So I'm really excited to see, you know, what he got planned and what he got lined up.
If you think about another guy who's crossed over from mixed martial arts to our world, professional wrestling, has done very, very well for himself. That is an intriguing matchup, you versus him. That's something on the table. You better watch out.
Yeah, man. We gotta. I know last time we was here, it was the rematch with me and Tom.
Right.
But I don't know. I want to see. I definitely want to see where he was going. Because I thought he was going to come to Contra until he said, he looked at me and said, fuck Contra. So, you know, I was kind of confused there for a minute. But, you know, it's just a lot of twists happening right now. A lot of crazy things, a lot of twists happening right now, MLW. And speaking of that, by the way, thank you, man, for the power rankings, man. I seen that and appreciate that. I know a lot of fans like that, too. So
officially the first person who really likes your power.
Yeah. No,
MJF heals you.
That's not true.
MJF heals you.
I put MJF number three at a guy like just absolutely destroyed me on social media. Bully pushed back, though. I just thought he's not here. He said you were number six. I said, no. My guy, Jacob Fatu, is number five on the power rankings.
49ers fell out of the power rankings of the NFL this week, by the way.
They dropped
out of five, even though their record is still good.
We should have had home field advantage, but it's not happening right now, man.
You have a dream opponent?
Yeah, I did. I actually do. I have two. I really have two. One of them in my family, it's kind of weird, man, be my Uncle Yoko, but the other one would definitely be like the Great Muta.
Yeah, yeah, dude. I tagged with him last time. It was, as a kid, I wanted to be a mixture between Sting and Muta.
Yeah.
When I got to tag with him, it was my own show, but it was against John Morrison, it was me and Muta versus John Morrison and Michael Elgin. Man, it was little boy in me was marking out, and that's what you should always still want to aspire
absolutely
to those things, because in our business, it's, you know, stuff like that can happen. What's his name? Debo Samuel of the San Francisco 49ers. He cannot catch a pass from Joe Montana or Steve Young, but in our business, we can still do that.
Yep.
And I love that about wrestling.
Yeah, definitely.
The 2019 Opera Cup coming up in Melrose Ballroom in Queens, New York, Thursday night. I mean, some of these matchups, like you mentioned, Contra Unit against the Stronghearts. Alex Hammerstone going up against MJF. That's going to be very, very interesting.
And Tim Thatcher.
Yeah.
Thatcher's off the hook, man. Thatcher's one of the cats, man, I really look up to, man. He's really off the hook. He's actually going against their partner, Holiday.
Who I really like, by the way, too. TJP makes his return. He's going up against Brian Pillman Jr. Mance Warner against Jimmy Havoc. Mm-hmm. And then Filthy Tom Waller is going to go up against one of the Von Erichs. So this is going to be one hell of a show. Again, for tickets, go to MLW.com. But the main eventer, the guy who holds the championship gold, Jacob Fatu. Jacob, thanks so much for the time today.
Appreciate you guys, man. Thank you.
All right, we'll react when Tommy Dreamer and I are back. And maybe, who knows, maybe Filthy Tom Waller will be joining us in studio. I hope we don't cross paths here. That could be bad.
I'll be the ref. I'll be the special ref.
I'll still kick his ass.
Nice. If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Who knows what's going on with this gentleman after what we saw on Thanksgiving on BN Sports MLW Fusion, and we welcome him in for a second time here in studio, Tom Lawler. Tom, how are you today?
I'm doing great, although you introduced Jacob Fatu as the champion. You should be introducing me as the champion, but unfortunately his cohorts in Contra had something to say about that in the past, so I'll let that slide. But I appreciate you welcoming me here.
I know, and I do want to get into this, because let's just look back at what took place on Thanksgiving. And Tommy, you know, it's Thanksgiving. I've decided to make it a new tradition to watch MLW wrestling on Thanksgiving. I'm not watching the NFL anymore. And, you know, the family's around, I'm watching it, and then the show ends, and you hear, you know, Tom Lawler say, fuck Contra, fuck the Von Erichs. So where does your allegiance lie, or do you have any allegiance at all?
I'm pretty sure my allegiance lies with myself.
Okay.
I haven't changed as a person over time. I'm just, you know, letting people see what the Von Erichs are all about. And if you've done your research over the past 30-plus years in the sport, you know, when it comes down to the Von Erichs, it's all about them. And they made MLW all about themselves. They made my fight with the Contra Unit about themselves, about bringing it back to Dallas and getting it done in front of their family. But what about me? You know, I'm the one that brought them in here. I gave them the opportunity to do all that, and I just got thrown by the wayside. So I'm not changing. There's no change in me. I'm still the same person. I'm just enlightening everybody else as to how the Von Erichs truly are.
You know why he has this attitude? Because he's a real deal fighter, and he has a competitive edge. And yes, betting upon yourself like he does. He's one of these rare hybrid athletes that comes from the MMA world and has now been successful in our world. I got a question for you. It was weird to me. Maybe you can enlighten us, enlighten Nish, because we got so many people hitting us up on social media. There was a statement that you were no longer with MLW, and then like a week later, you'd re-sign with MLW. Is this like per what was going on in your head, or like what's going on with your actions now, like how you're basically bet upon yourself?
There's a lot of things that went into the process of, I guess, now re-signing with MLW. It's been going on for months and months and months, and as everybody knows, there's other opportunities in the professional wrestling world. And not only that, but there's other options and opportunities that I have outside of the professional wrestling world, whether it's in mixed martial arts or commentary, or I've been a big supporter of going to military bases overseas and training with troops and stuff like that. And MLW is really the place where I can continue to have outside personal interests and also be involved in professional wrestling at the highest level that I can possibly be at. And MLW is the place to do that. So there was a time where in my head I thought, this is either I'm going to move on from wrestling or I'll go somewhere else. But after talking to Core, after sitting down and coming to an agreement, like I said, it took months. It wasn't like this was a one-day process. This is a long thing. And, timing is everything. And it was the perfect time for me to re-sign with MLW.
That's great. I mean, I tell people everywhere I work, if it's AEW, Impact Wrestling, or even when I'm friends with Court, I've worked in MLW. You can use this company like a company will use you, and they're going to get the most out of you, so make the most out of it, or make it your home. And if you make it your home, then you're going to work even harder to make it better. And MLW is, for a wrestler, it's great that we have these options. And for MLW, they're providing quality entertainment, quality matches, and it's also with the quality of the people that they're working with. I mean, yourself, Jacob, the list goes on and on of really, really good athletes with great wrestling storylines. And I'm happy that you made that decision and you decided to make it that your home. And because it's also, as you know now, it's a business. Because I met you a long time ago, where you were kind of new and green into the business, but you realize that it is a business and that you're making MLW your home and you're going to be the face of the company. That's a great decision for you and for MLW fans.
Yeah, it's been 2 years now. I don't know if it's like 2 years exactly, but about 2 years that I've been with MLW. And, when I sat down and I looked at the lay of the land, obviously there's WWE, which has been around forever. Impact's on the rise with the deal with Access, AEW, obviously. But when I looked at everything, there was still a lot of stuff I wanted to do in MLW. And, it's not like I'm putting a time stamp on that. I am getting older, so that's really the only time stamp is the one I can put on myself. But, I foresee myself with MLW for as long of a future as I can see in the sport. So, I'm very happy that we came to an agreement.
That's awesome.
Now you're here in New York City, as we talked about with Jacob Fatu. The MLW 2019 Opera Cup is taking place tomorrow night at the Melrose Ballroom in New York City. Now, obviously, Thanksgiving, you took a chair to Ross Von Erich. You don't know exactly who you're going to wrestle tomorrow night, but you know it's going to be a member of the Von Erich family. Is there a preference?
I don't care. The Von Erich family, every single one of them probably deserves what they're going to get in the future. Ross, Marshall, whoever. I don't care. You can dig up any Von Erich. You can go find them out on the ranch in Hawaii. Go find a long-lost inbred cousin in Texas. Do whatever you want, okay? I just want to get my hands on one of those family members.
You do understand, though, like the Von Erich family is like the biggest family in the history of pro wrestling. There's tradition there. I mean, I grew up myself.
Tradition. What about George Hackenschmidt? Huh?
I get that, but the Von Erich.
Ad Santel. The Von Erichs. You're talking about a guy using a claw.
I'm talking about guys. The claw.
Ripping limbs apart. Tearing
Dude, if
people
they claw your ear, that thing's gonna fall off. It's got so much cauliflower.
Yeah, they're gonna be doing me a favor. That's a procedure. That's like a $20,000 procedure that I would have to pay to get taken
but
care
you,
of.
But you do know by saying this about the Von Erichs, you're now going to be the most hated man in MLW.
My Twitter and social media, my emails, seriously, since I hit Ross with a chair, I've been blowing up with threats. People send death threats. They threaten my family. It is amazing. At all of the, I'm going to try to use a new term, the stands. out there, the Von Erich stands. So maybe I'll fight Stan Von Erich tomorrow. I don't know.
Tommy, I mean, obviously, you know, we're around the same age. You grew up watching the Von Erichs.
Yes.
I mean, here we are. We have Tom Lawler in front of us. But if he's facing a Von Erich, and he is, he's going to face a member of the Von Erich family tomorrow night in Queens, New York at the Melrose Ballroom. I mean, you're going to be rooting for the Von Erichs, are you not?
Well, it is in Queens, New York. They'll be rooting for whoever they feel is the better in-ring performer. And if this was Texas, yes, you're going to go all Von Erich. But, you know, Tom's showing a different side of himself. He's showing a more aggressive side. He's looking, to me, it reminds me a bit of like a Stone Cold-ish where he don't really give a crap about anyone but himself. So why not?
And that was a major statement that you made at the end of that show, because we had Jacob Fatu, and he thought for a second, hey, you did that because maybe you want to be a part of Contra, but obviously with your statements after that, you don't care about Contra, you don't care about the Von Erichs, you don't care about anybody.
No, I do care about myself. You know, like Tommy said, I wouldn't say I don't care about anybody. I certainly care about myself, but nobody else really takes the time to care about me, so why should I care about them? I mean, I could run down a laundry list of things. I mean, if you want to pull up the video from War Games, I could, or the War Chamber, this isn't a game to me, the War Chamber, you could see still shots, frame by frame, me down on the mat, my face covered in mist. I had been moonsaulted on, super kicked, beaten up. I'm laying there, and what do the Von Erichs do? They bring their dad into the cage. He walks right over me. Walks right over the top of me as I'm laying there. Are you kidding me?
Well,
right?
He's probably barefoot and didn't want to step on
it. Get any mist on his feet, yeah.
That's a good point.
So you feel valid, disrespected. You feel disrespected.
I don't feel disrespected. I was disrespected. There's one person that was in that cage that may have taken a look at me and may have noticed what was going on, and it wasn't the Von Erichs. It was low key. It was the smartest guy out of the other three that were in there. It certainly wasn't Ross or Marshall. They were up there celebrating while I'm sitting there hurt. Okay, I'm covering my face in shame as I've been beaten up. I don't know what's going on. There's music playing. They're celebrating on top of the cage. There's four posts in that cage, right? There's four corners. There's four people in the match that won the match. Each one goes up to hit the corner and celebrate. Kevin Von Erich's up there in the corner instead of me, right? I can't even get a spot to stand on and celebrate after the match is over. No, I have to stand on the ground while the Von Erichs and Low Key are up higher above me, right? No, I should be at the top of the mountain, not them.
Makes a pretty good point, Tommy.
Now, if you want to go for a heat, if he attacked Kevin Von Erich, even in Queens, people want to kill him.
But and Tom, you know this because you've wrestled
here.
He
won't
many
get
times.
On the plane.
Yeah, that might be true, but.
Or unless he had the compression socks on. but seriously, you've wrestled in front of this New York crowd before. And as Tommy said, the New York crowd is a bit different than anywhere else in the country. Is there a preference of crowd that you like to wrestle in front of? Is there a certain place you love to be a part of?
I really like this New York crowd at the Melrose Ballroom. One of the biggest matches that I've had was the MLW Battle Riot a few years ago that I won, and it was in that place. And I was in there for 50 minutes. So if you're a fan and you were at that show, I mean, that's probably one of the things that you remember the most, is that even if you don't remember what was going on in that match, you remember this guy was in there for damn near an hour. So every time that I'm back at the Melrose Ballroom in New York, in Queens, I feel like I'm at home. I feel like I get a really good reaction from the crowd. So this is one of my favorite places. I do enjoy the atmosphere of kind of like the smaller venue, the nightclub style venue where you have a balcony and there's people up there. It's just a different atmosphere than the large open spaces that you get at like convention centers and stuff like that. And I prefer the more intimate setting.
Yeah, and the Melrose Ballroom is very similar to the venue in Orlando that MLW is at the Guild nightclub.
Yeah.
It's very similar in the look and like everything else. So you probably feel at home there.
Well, I mentioned the Melrose Ballroom for a reason, not the Orlando Guild nightclub. I like the crowd here, I think, is a little bit in tune
yeah.
with the action that's going on in the ring.
As well as, I think, the product.
Mm-hmm.
MLW fans have a certain, you know, it's a wrestling-based company that they have their own fan base. I mean, from WWE, AEW, Impact, we are all the same, but what's going to attract fans to watch something different? It's the athletes and the basic management style, and I feel MLW does have a more of an athletic, almost like a New Japan, Japanese-style base, or and a mixture of MMA, and those fans are really, really into that style, and it's showing by the success of MLW.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned the MMA style, and that seems to be a style that is really good, not just with MLW, but also all over the world of pro wrestling. Do you see that growing more and more? Do you feel there is a good connection between the two?
Yeah, obviously, like, wrestling goes through these large ebbs and flows, and you have different styles come up throughout the years. Obviously, there's been, like, since the 90s, more of a Lucha Libre style than, mm-hmm. you know, Tommy's talking about New Japan, or, you know, a strong style, I guess some people would say, a harder-hitting style. But now, kind of the best guys from each style have been locked up. You know, they've been around for a while. People have seen what they can do, and they've kind of infiltrated the larger, I guess, wrestling, you know, like the wrestling world. You know, there's more Lucha Libre. There's more Japanese style wrestling. There's more wrestling with acrobatic high spots. And now is the time for another style of wrestling to kind of emerge. And I think it is this more realistic, I guess you could say, or more martial arts based style. You know, you talked about MLW kind of being a representative of that here. Well, as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about the show that's happening tomorrow night, and it's like Davey Boy Smith Jr. is on the show, right? Timothy Thatcher, Shinjiro Otani. You know, those are all guys who are known as wrestlers, like professional wrestlers through and through. And then you throw in Richard Holiday, MJF, Hammerstone in this tournament as well. So you get a good mix of everything. But the guys that you mentioned, like Davey Boy Smith Jr., yep. We're talking about the style. Davey Boy Smith Jr., Timothy Thatcher, myself, Simon Gotch, yep. Douglas James, King Mo, Dominic Guarini. These are all guys now under the MLW banner who have a fighting background, and I haven't even mentioned Low Ki yet.
Yeah.
You know? Wow. So there's a ton of guys who, while they may not all be specifically like a jiu-jitsu player or MMA guys, they are all martial artists in a way, and I think that is going to be the next wave.
And then you have like a Mance Warner and a Jimmy Havoc that are those guys that, you know, bring in, you know, staple yeah. guns and everything else. So
Mance can throw down.
Dude, I was hoping we'd get Mance in studio. I was going to bring in a case of Bud Light. I think Mance would appreciate that.
He's probably like 15 deep by now. Oh, Mance, 30 beers deep now, brother.
And who would have thought that in the age, kind of a throwback, because there's a lot of wrestlers that have never been in a real fight, and there's a lot of wrestlers out there, not, you know, saying anyone isn't tough, but to me, you need to be in at least one real fight to understand psychology, or like you, if you go down in Dallas, you may get jumped, mm-hmm. and you have to be able to defend yourself. And I like the fact that MLW does have some tough guys, and that's important for wrestling and gives you credibility when you're already credible.
Mm-hmm. Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
As we speak, RJ City, as advertised, is joining us here on Busted Open.
Hello, buddy.
Tommy Dreamer.
How are
you?
A
big hug.
Where am I?
Go over there.
It's a chair.
There's a chair.
And a microphone. How are you, sir?
Hello. Lovely to see you.
Speaking of men who've been in tough brawls and real life fights, and then here comes
either one,
RJ City.
Hey. Yeah, I have no need to fight because I use my words, because I read a lot.
Oh, my God, look at the shirt he's got on. He's got a Rene Goulet T-shirt.
The Goulet.
Nice. Goulet. Yes.
By the way, Tommy,
yes.
you failed in the T-shirt competition today. RJ City has a Rene Goulet shirt on. I have Wahoo. I Broke Wahoo's Leg T-shirt on. From our good friend Greg DeHammer Valentine, who we still have the live microphone of Greg DeHammer Valentine. We have the live remote. Greg, are you there? Yep, Craig Hammer Valentine is still there. And then you have a Brock Lesnar t-shirt.
I already
on.
Explained, because I'm in corporate world, I did not wear my Akeem the African Dream shirt today. So I just quickly grabbed this one. Thank you.
Nor is that a good look in non-corporate world. You no. shouldn't even be wearing it on the
during
street.
During wrestling
be honest with
fans,
you.
Yeah. conventions, all that stuff. They should be here.
Can I point out
where
something?
Is Nug?
What? Nug? He's listening. He's listening right now. He's the one who gifted me this shirt.
Nug gave me a Toronto t-shirt. Not Toronto, but Toronto. Like, that's the proper way
Toronto.
To say Toronto. Yeah, to say Toronto.
Toronto.
Yeah, I don't say it right because I'm not Canadian. How? And I don't use maple
all
syrup.
Right.
Yeah.
First of
what
all,
do you want to talk about?
What are you doing here?
I'm hanging out. I came
I understand
to
that.
See
are
some
you like
family, and then I went, and I'm doing all these weird podcasts, and then this.
Are you
thing,
part of MLW? Like, are you just?
Am I? I listen.
Are
as,
you being
as
a surprise?
You know,
are you
I'm
taking
under,
on Tom Lawler in the
I'm
UFC
under,
rules?
No. Please, I'll take him on in some sort of Algonquin roundtable. As you know, I've been under a long-term contract with the AWA.
Yes.
So I have to turn down. It's been a 25-year deal. It's a whole
Stanley
thing.
Stanley Blackburn has been holding you down.
And Fern Gagne was there at the signing.
Yeah. Ooh, that
exciting.
Barn was cold training in there. Oh, my. Can I just also point out, while we talk about Greg Valentine, his hair is too gorgeous for him.
Yeah, for
it's
his age.
It's fascinating. Yeah. From behind, my kind of gal.
Do you know every
Greg Valentine, what do you think of RJ City? He loves you. He thinks you're very funny.
Yes.
Don Callis says that Chris Jericho is slowly morphing into Greg Valentine. And when I watch, now I'm starting, it's like, because Don Callis says it every single week.
Yes.
That now when I'm watching Jericho, like in shape Jericho is Greg Valentine.
Yeah.
Because Greg Valentine was always in shape.
Yes.
He was.
He's the hammer.
It was a different shape at the time, but he was in that shape.
Yes.
Yeah. But now, once Jericho's knee pads come off, then you know we're in true hammer territory.
Why are you in town?
I came to see my family, last minute thing.
Why did you not hit me up and say you were in town?
I literally messaged him and I'm coming in.
Do we share a phone?
I thought
you're
it would
my
be nice
friend.
To be on the show.
I randomly DM you the weirdest
stuff.
The last
time you texted me was a picture of Jim Backus.
With a puppet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you just responded one back to me with Jim, and you said he was
a wonderful story about Jim Backus kind of sounded like he was almost going to cheat on his wife with Marilyn Monroe.
Correct.
Marilyn Monroe called him into her dressing room, and he's like, ooh, let's do this. And she said, can you please do the Mr. Magoo voice for me?
Wait, so you're talking about the Jim Backus from I Married Joan
what
fame?
Other Jim Backus?
Well, Thurston Lovey.
Because most people would Lovey. Say Gilligan's Island. I choose to say I Married Joan. To me, that was the better sitcom
and good,
over
and
Gilligan's
you know what?
Island.
I'm happy we're bringing out these hot button issues on this program. That's what we're here for.
You're not doing comedy. You're doing nothing. Where are you staying?
I'm staying at my grandmother's in
where?
Garden City. Okay. I came in to see her, and then I was like, hey, I'm going to be. It's only for a few days, and then it turned into this. And then I was out last evening with some theater people talking about some hot things.
Any of
and
your of course, uncles?
Yes, it's a few uncles of mine. And of course, a lot of people don't know this, but me and Tommy first met. We were doing a table read of the revival of Damn Yankees.
Yes, absolutely.
Which, unfortunately, he didn't get. And don't listen to what the critics say. I thought you were great.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And a lot of people don't know how Tommy Dreamer even got the name Dreamer. It's because he's such a big fan of Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. That's where it all comes from.
Not interesting.
Not really on that one.
So,
interesting.
I love the Seinfeld episode where with the Joseph Technical Dreamcoat. What is
that technical?
Called? That
yes.
one.
Yes.
Technicolor.
Technicolor Dreamcoat.
I like the technical one.
I'm not a big fan of Seinfeld, so I didn't catch that episode.
Wow. RJ, what year were you born? 50?
80. Yes. We worked out culturally. I'm like 62.
What is your infatuation with this older culture? And do you look at a grandma and be like, God, I got to hit that?
I've been trying to date older women because I need someone who can hang in the conversation arena.
So like a Betty White type.
No, because Betty White's a scumbag.
Oh, ooh. Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
That's right. I said it, and why? I don't know if you want to get into it here. I don't know if it's too hot for this show.
It's because I showed you her naked picture from Playboy. I have that on my cell phone.
No, B. Arthur, who is very much my guiding light,
more
hated Betty White.
Really? Why?
Yeah, they had tension.
There's a lot of Golden Girls heat.
Yeah.
She felt like she was the top guy. Maude felt like she was the top guy.
Yeah.
A lot of top guy heat there.
Yeah.
or top woman.
Top lady.
I guess it's. I guess I got to start being more politically correct.
Well, whatever.
Well, I say top guy just means you're the top.
Yeah.
Like I would call Becky Lynch a top guy.
Well, she's the man.
Yeah.
So there
That kind of works.
Yeah, that works out well.
Who is your favorite all-time actor?
Actor?
We'll go actor, and since it's all-time, then I will say actress.
Ooh.
Then I'll say singer. How about that?
Okay. I like Victor Buono. He's on my head right now, and I'll just, whatever, pick him out of thin air, because he does fun roles. You don't know? It's no good? How many people have tuned out? Has the demographic switched?
No. We're going to get to whatever, something.
And then my favorite actress, I like Madeline Kahn.
Nice.
I think it's a good, solid pick. A Bette Davis, of course. And singer, I'm going through a deep Bobby Darin phase right
Interesting.
Now.
Interesting. Yeah. Bobby Darin. You don't hear that often.
Madeline Kahn was in some great Mel Brooks movies.
Well, she was probably in the greatest comedy ever, Blazing Saddles.
Yeah. She was also great in Young Frankenstein.
I was going to say Young Frankenstein. Yeah. I thought she was better.
She was also great in, and it's not a great movie, History of the World. Part one.
Yes, yes.
But she's great in it.
She is like, Madeline Kahn's a great combination of sexy and irritating, if that's such a thing.
Mm,
I like it.
Sounds like someone I know.
Sounds like a lot of women I've
dated. No, David, my dear friend David Arquette.
Yes, has tag team partner.
Yeah, in many ways. Has been trying to set me up with older women. And we're trying to get a hold of Charo.
Nice.
Her Instagram is out of this world. She looks phenomenal.
Well, how old is Charo now?
Does it matter?
It kind of does.
She can still play the guitar. You know, give me a G major and we'll take it from there.
That's a good Charo's looking like now.
Instagram? Yes. It's
Would you like someone like a Dolly Parton, or is she too young looking for you?
She's I need like perhaps an Ellen Green. Is this too small of a world for? And no one's nodding at me. B.B. Newirth, who I found out was married, and it's unfortunate.
How are you single? I have no clue.
Well, I mean, speaking of single, Charo is single.
Yes.
She's very young at the age of 68, so that's definitely right in your wheelhouse. 68's
nothing.
68 is nothing.
Oh, my gosh. Please.
We were in Scotland, and I will not
Wasn't
say...
Wasn't Charo the coochie coochie girl?
Yeah. Yes. It's Gucci. It's not coochie.
I'm sorry.
That's a little lewd.
Well,
and she wasn't waving it around on Merv.
She would be like that.
I don't know what films you saw.
Look at my boobs move. Yeah. It's awesome.
I'm sorry.
I was going to tell a story about one of my friends. He was a wrestler. He's no longer with us. I won't say who he was. But he was with a 66-year-old woman, and while he was like 25, and he was like, it was the best because it was horrible. I was like,
so,
all right.
Yes, we call that kitsch.
And then he was also like, and I could have controlled her. 66, you know what you want.
See? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cut to the chase.
That's why you like it.
I think so. And they know the good restaurants. By that age, they know where to go. They know a decent place.
You can also now Google and find that out too.
No, I got to read Yelp reviews
and then click on that person's
profile and see their other ones to cross-reference if they know what they're talking about.
Because when you get to a certain age, you start forgetting things too.
Yes.
So I'm just saying that maybe you might want to go.
Are you here to promote
website.
Anything? Are you just here to
promote
talk?
Anything? I wanted to see you and say, hey,
no,
friend.
If you wanted to see me, you would have texted me and said, hey, I'm in town.
I'm here. I
have no clue about this.
And RJ,
you had no idea. I was coming in
until I got here today.
I was like, okay.
I just said, you need to understand something. Like Tommy said, we don't share a phone. We actually don't talk, you know, at all.
This is like Ed McMahon and Johnny Carson.
Except on the air, you know, it's just
we
off
go
air
off the air.
And they,
you scumbag.
He literally, when the show ends, he just walks out.
Yes.
Yeah.
He just walks out. And that's
coffee.
It. And I see him next Wednesday. That's it.
I can promote something. I was given an exclusive thing I can promote. I'm going to Los Angeles, as you are, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day.
Yep.
Are you doing both those shows?
Both shows.
Bar wrestling. Mm-hmm. We're doing them. And I'll be teaming with David Arquette, unfortunately, both nights. And on New Year's Day, I've just been told it's David and I against Joey Ryan and Colt Cabana.
Oh.
Whoa. That should be a serious catch-as-catch-can matchup.
Catch-as-catch-can't. That's what that will be.
That's the opposite of what we were just talking with MLW about, their athletic-based, real MMA hybrid strong style.
Like, imagine a match between Filthy Tom Lawler and RJ City. Like, I think they would just stare at each other for 20 minutes. I don't think there would be any action.
Listen, I've wrestled RJ City. He does like to play some games on the microphone. I believe one of our times he sang a song.
One of the times. And I feel like every time.
We had a feud going on for a little bit in Toronto. We had a little bit of a feud. We were always facing each other. But he's a good wrestler, but he prefers just to kind of do these things.
Let me put it this way. I can wrestle, but I don't.
Okay. I get it. I understand.
Does he remind you of a young Paul Roma?
He does. Yes.
Who also looks great, by the way, and can still work, apparently.
I don't know about that.
I saw a picture of him doing a top rope elbow from last year.
Really?
So, yeah. Maybe that's my Mania weekend match. Is me and Paul Roma.
All right, we'll see. All right, there's a lot to get into with you.
A lot to discuss.
I mean,
why he's even here is my biggest question.
I want to hear about the tag team with David Arquette.
Yes.
I want to talk
about. What do you want to hear? Oh,
wait. This is called
terrible.
A tease. This is a tease. Don't say anything. God. You don't talk.
We'll be right back.
Wait, do you want me to do it? No, I'm going to tease what we're going to talk about when we come back. I want to get into David Arquette. I want to get into your guys' relationship as a tag team. I definitely want to get into more about the wrestling t-shirts because obviously you have taste for shirts. I want to get into Nug. We'll talk about Nug. And then I was kind of hoping that you might be able to sing a show tune for us.
Yeah, well, what rights does Sirius have? Do you have the Sondheim catalog?
I signed the biggest contract with Sirius XM.
Yeah, everything is on the table.
Yes.
If you don't know Sirius XM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy Sirius XM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of Sirius XM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new Sirius XM streaming subscribers. Sirius XM, no car required.
For anyone who is a wrestling
for
fan,
anyone who's still alive,
you may not want to follow RJ City. But if you're a throwback fan of anything old counterculture or a culture.
Counterculture. This isn't the punk revolution.
Where he posted a cameo that he got from Ruth Buzzy. That was phenomenal.
David Arquette got me that for my birthday.
Well, that's nice.
And she said, whenever you're in Texas, let me know, and I'll come to a show and hit someone with my purse.
Nice.
So adorable. Is he going to call in? He's tweeting.
I don't know. He's your buddy.
He's okay. Let me know if a guy named David calls in.
Does he know the show's live right
now? Yeah, he's tweeting about it, and he's listening. So
sometimes
he wants
he's not
to call
sure.
in.
What up, David?
Because I can picture David Arquette listening to the replay at 8 p.m. and calling.
I've been in the car when he's done that. And he gets all excited and knows what he's going to say to bully. And then
it just keeps ringing.
Picking up the phone.
Yeah. I'm a celebrity.
Why is it when, I get the best tables at
Macaluso's,
but I can't get Alex Metz to pick up my phone call?
So you and David Arquette, how did this all come about?
He had followed me on Twitter. A friend of his recommended that he follow me. And then he started liking all my tweets because his father's an actor. His grandfather was Charlie Weaver, to drop another name.
Dude, let me explain to you how I did not realize. Yeah. I follow David. I love David. When he put that his father was always his grandfather was on Hollywood Squares as that character. Do you know about this, David?
No, I did not know.
His grandfather's a famous actor.
Charlie Weaver is was a regular on Hollywood Squares.
But that was a gimmick character that he had on Hollywood Squares.
He wasn't really that old.
Yeah. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
And then I look up his father was a famous actor.
His father was on the Waltons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His father was Leapin' Larry on Seinfeld.
Yes, he was.
I popped gigantic for that.
Yeah.
And his entire family is, that is they're the Von Erichs of acting. They're the entire history. Actually, no, I would say they're more like the Samoans of
acting. I would say David is perhaps the Lance Von Erich.
Oh, that's,
you know what I mean? When you're like,
kind of.
The others are very good.
Lance Von, but you can't say Lance Von, because Lance Von Erich wasn't a real Von Erich. He was a make-believe
right.
Von Erich.
All right, let's get back to how this relationship was formed.
So he kept commenting on all my tweets, but commenting in a way where, and people do this a lot, they'll just restate the punchline in their own word and try to like basically siphon likes off of my tweets. So I got upset. And I do this thing every Sunday morning. I make coffee in my underwear, which Tommy has been a regular guest. He's
twice.
Been the Bob Hope of the show.
Yep.
And I called him out on that. And I say, hey, you got to stop doing this. And then he made another video, and then it turned into a whole thing. And then we met in New Orleans, and I had no idea he was planning on actually wrestling at all. And then I ended up having his first match. He and I in Hollywood.
I booked you on another House of Hardcore in Philly.
We did that. We wrestled Robbie E and Tyrus.
Yep.
And then there was a bunch of run-ins happening.
Somebody got put through a table.
Someone did. David's back hurt very much. Mm-hmm. He was very upset. But yet, before the show, he saw Bully all the way across the diner we were sitting at and was nice enough to send him a pie. Which is very classy.
That's how you get on the good side of a bully. Send him a pie.
Yeah.
What kind of pie?
I think it was just whatever was freshest, I think.
Nice.
And they came around and said, would anyone like a slice? Do you remember, Brody and Hansen used to do that. They would just each other up and then next day send each other a pie. That was the kayfabe. You know what I mean? You went, don't talk to each other, but send them some meringue.
Yeah, Brody loved lemon meringue. From
what got you involved in professional wrestling?
I don't remember not wanting to do it. It was this and The Muppet Show for me, which are essentially the same thing.
And you couldn't be a Muppet.
Cannot be a Muppet.
Genetically.
So this was easier. Now that I look back on it, maybe should have gave the Muppet thing a shot.
Yeah.
That would have been better.
Somebody's hand up your anus would have worked for
yes.
it. Kind of the same thing sometimes
kind
in wrestling.
Kind of the same thing.
All right. What? No, honestly.
Yes.
Who attracted you to wrestling?
Oh, now that I look back and realize what I liked, like Bobby Heenan, Roddy Piper, Rick Rude. I enjoyed a good Rick Rude.
Yeah.
And Earthquake as a child, sitting on people is fun. You know, yeah. Just as a straight up child. I was also kind of obsessed with Tugboat conceptually because, he thought he was a boat.
And I think
we need to talk about that. And he said, who? And everyone went, all right, this guy's a boat. Like, I buy it, fine. And to me, he's like, I always thought he was like the worst of the Transformers. That a small seagoing vessel would turn into a 300-pound guy with the meat sweats. I was like, okay, all right.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. But then let's also commend him for keeping the nautical theme when he became Typhoon. They were like, we want you to turn heel and be angry and mean. He's like, can I still do like a water thing? They're like, sure. That's the continuity is what I like.
All right, so with you and David Arquette and the tag team partners, you've teamed together.
Yes.
You've wrestled each other, too.
Yeah, so we wrestled each other first, and then he was so overcome with, I guess, my oeuvre, for lack of a better word, that he signed me to a deal where if I continue to team with him, he will get me on a talk show. And I've teamed with him everywhere, and so far I haven't even been on Maury.
I mean, you could consider this a talk show,
yeah,
right?
But he didn't get me on the talk show.
That's
I did
true.
This
did
on
that.
My
that's
own.
Right.
And now we're waiting for him to call in. I'm doing him the favor.
Oh, he's there?
Oh, my gosh. We got to run in. We got to run in David Arquette.
All right, let's bring in David Arquette. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you, Dave?
I'm awesome. And we got RJ City here in studio. And
I've heard.
First of all, pretty good, huh? Not bad as a guest.
Yeah. He's doing all right. Does it smell like aqua? What's the aqua?
Aqua Velva? Do I have to help you out with everything?
Yeah, like aqua velva.
I'm actually wearing Brute right now.
Oh, Brute Fabergé.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice. I thought that was the smell.
He did send me Jerry Lewis's cologne, though, as a Christmas present.
I did. I found the cologne that Jerry Lewis liked, and then David sent me back Jerry Lewis's custom-made jacket. So in L.A., maybe on New Year's, we're going to have a seance.
Nice.
Yeah, and see if we can contact him.
Hello, ladies!
Hey!
Ladies!
I'm back from the dead, the hoy!
So, but here's the thing with David Arquette.
Yeah. Oh, there's plenty of things.
I want to hear about it. Yeah. He's always going to be able to up you. Like, you got the cologne that he wore. He just happened in his closet to have, like, Jerry Lewis's jacket.
Right.
Like, you know,
right.
I mean, how do you beat that?
Well, because I carry him in the ring and that's, seemingly in life at this point.
Well, seeing some of the footage on YouTube, that's absolutely correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa. Listen, give me... Well, for one, what's this about wrestling? Everybody's trying to over somebody. I don't understand this.
Well, that's our competitive nature, Dave. That's our competitive nature. We all want to be top guys, or in RJ City, top girls. And
I don't.
We don't.
I don't ever want to be the top guy again. No, never again. Ever. Don't give me a belt. I don't want a belt.
Well, the best part, and I'll say this publicly, the best part about you, you kind of were associated with the most negative thing in professional wrestling, and then through hard work, determination, at an older age to be getting involved in professional wrestling, you went out there and proved that you wanted to make it a positive, because and we've discussed this. Here's a wrestling fan that someone says, hey, do you want to be the champion? Okay. And he went and turned, probably was one of the most negative stigmas in professional wrestling and turn into a positive. And I said it to Jacob Fatu, and I'll say it to you as well. The greatest compliment I could ever give somebody is me booking them on a show. And, you know, yes, there is a degree of getting fans to come in and watch you. And, you know, I use you as a promotional tool, but you backed it up in the ring, and you take wrestling very, very seriously. And that's why the wrestling universe has kind of like gravitated you, and like, oh yeah, we'll forget about that one part, but we love you now. We just don't really like RJ.
Thanks, Tommy. I really appreciate those words. That's very kind of you. It's nice that somebody's being nice, RJ.
Yeah, because he doesn't have to carry you on his back. No, David is incredibly tough.
Let's do a six-man at Bar Wrestling on Thursday.
Let's do it.
Me, you...
David?
David versus whoever.
I wouldn't say whoever. Let's take a look at the roster first, and then let's pick from there.
I got to wrestle Hornswoggle.
My first match with RJ, I wrestled with three fractured ribs.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to watch that match and go. Because I got to his house, and then I was like, oh, where's David? And his wife's like, he's just getting back from Mexico. And I was like, oh. And he gets out of the van all hunched over, and he's like, hey, buddy. And then just did everything.
Wow.
Didn't complain about a thing. And then I gave him a black eye at the end of the match. Also didn't complain about it.
Those are the good times. Well, I don't want to steal your thunder here, RJ. You know I'm a big fan. You're an incredible wrestler. I want the whole world to know how good you are. Although you're a very mean person. Mm-hmm. I mean, on Twitter and stuff.
Yes.
He constantly puts me down. But I can't help, it's like, you know, it's like that family member that's really kind of mean to you, but you still have to love them because they're family.
Well, David, before you go, is there like a dream opponent, like a tag team that you and RJ would like to go after? So, I mean, because even though there is definitely some tension between you two, I mean, you are a great tag team. Is there a tag team you guys would like to wrestle?
Well, you know, we're open to whatever. I mean, I kind of have permanent whiplash is what my doctor's telling me. So I'm limited. And even like my knowledge of wrestling is limited, although I'm getting better and better, and I'm still training and I'm still staying in shape. And I recently had a match against the Shockmaster at the Comedy Store for Store Cane, which was amazing.
Leave it to him to plug a show that's already happened. But go ahead. No, I have two. Go ahead.
Who do you want to wrestle, RJ?
I was going to say we should wrestle the Rock and Roll Express. I think that needs to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, probably the team of Dan Spivey and Frank Gorshin. I think that's a good wrestler-actor combo that I'm looking for.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with this child?
So tweet at Dan Spivey and get a hold of Frank Gorshin's agent, and we'll see if we can
And listen, the Rock and Roll
Express. Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy.
Oh, yeah, okay.
All right.
That would be phenomenal.
Yeah, but I am excited for
Jurassic Express.
Joey Ryan and Colt. We have to start training for that.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, Joey Ryan and Colt Cabana. That's a tough one, yeah. David. Are you ready to take the dick flip?
I beat Colt Cabana at Monster Palooza. One of my two victories.
You know what's crazy is that he's a professional actor and I'm still the promo of the team.
Oh my God, yes.
Well, we did see him on backstage and it was
I tried to help him out.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, epic fail.
I wish you were at our 10-year anniversary party because David Arquette, man, he kinda
I didn't do anything. I know. I could cut a promo, though.
No, you can't. You had your opportunity on backstage and got ripped apart. You can't cut a promo and then apologize.
All right. Wait. No, wait. Wait a second. You
don't like being a heel.
All right. Wait. Hold on, David. Because Tommy, you just said about, like, the stigma about David Arquette. He's been able to fight through it. RJ just said through injuries, he's gotten into the ring and he's wrestled. So I think this guy has earned the spot to at least get a second chance. So David, you guys are facing Colt Cabana. And, you know, like, why don't you right now cut a promo?
Against Colt and Tommy? Well,
yes.
All right.
Colt and Joey. Yeah. I'm not wrestling you.
Yeah, Joey Ryan. Facing Joey Ryan and Colt Cabana. So, yeah, wait. Hold on. Let me first tell you the opponent again. It's Joey Ryan and it's Colt Cabana.
On New Year's Eve.
Yes. Wait a second. You could probably factor in the holiday into the promo as well. Yeah. Who knows?
Okay.
Are you driving, by the way?
New Year's Day. Can I cut my promo already?
All right, I'm sorry. Now I'm apologizing during your promo. It's contagious. I'm sorry, I'm wrestling.
All right, let him go. Let David go.
Listen, it's 2020 in a few minutes, and I am going to take on Colt Cabana and Joey Ryan. Now, everyone thinks Colt Cabana's this legend. Well, I beat him at Monster Palooza, and I'll beat him again. For Joey Ryan, if you don't know, I've got the most powerful penis in all of Hollywood, if not the world. So get ready, because I'm going to whip it out and beat your ass.
Well, maybe I won't whip it out, but.
Well, I mean.
Well, I got to give you an F on that
promo.
No,
actually, I think it's an A.
Yeah,
I give him an A.
Thanks for plugging your tag team partner, too. Are you teaming with your penis, sir?
I think
you should have said maybe like you're.
With
RJ. No, you don't get it to redo.
Also,
and you should have maybe said your father had the most famous penis in Hollywood because of all the famous Arquettes that have came from his loins.
Literally.
Yes,
and then you have that genetic, you know, and you don't want to say you're going to pull out your penis and then beat someone's ass while you're saying that promo. I'm just bottom line promo cutting.
And
you know.
The other thing, too, you put over Monster Palooza, but I still don't know where you're wrestling.
We don't know where you're wrestling.
You can't mention a Monster Palooza. Where's the match taking place?
Wrestling in Baldwin Hills and at the Bootleg Theater.
Baldwin Park, not Baldwin Hills. Somebody get this guy a map.
This is why they have cue cards in Hollywood.
So, I mean, if you were going to compare RJ City and David Arquette to the Rock and Roll Express, you obviously, RJ City, would be Ricky Morton.
And who's going to take the Canadian Destroyer?
David will do it. Absolutely.
I'll take it. I also gave it to Jungle Boy when I wrestled him.
You would break your own neck giving the dip move because you're crazy. I love you. Oof.
Thank you.
I'm still trying to find out why RJ is here, though.
Yeah, we're trying to figure that out. And David, you know, the next time you're in New York, you're always welcome to come here in studio.
I can't wait to come in, guys.
Okay.
I love your show. I listen to it every day. Thank you so much.
All right, David. Thank you so much. David Arquette, tag team partner of RJ City. How about that, though, that people think of him more now as your tag team partner than actor?
Yeah. Well, that only speaks to the lacklusterness of his acting career.
Hey, don't say that. Though he hasn't gotten you on any talk shows. I mean, I remember seeing him on Ellen and revealing the whole thing. And
Wendy Williams.
I was waiting for you. He was on Ellen, too.
Oh, yeah.
I was waiting for him. Not that I watch Ellen.
No,
so
that's
fine. I'm hardcore.
Yeah. You read the trades. Yeah.
They come straight to my house.
Yes.
So, yeah, man, I didn't remember seeing you on that one.
Nope. Wasn't even mentioned.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't even mention
didn't
you
see
in
you
his
on
promo.
Wendy Williams. Yeah. Didn't mention you on his pulling his penis out and beating someone's ass promo.
Yeah, his penis will be on Ellen before I will.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.